Okay, Psalm 91 is where we want to start this morning. I wanted to say to you that my message is not like expository from one passage today, because I have been challenged by a concept that I want to challenge you with this morning. And so I'm going to ask you some questions. So you can turn to Psalm 91, verses 14 and 15 is where we're going to look. But I got to ask my questions first. So I need you to think with me, if you would, this morning as we ask these. And we're going to look at three things really quickly this morning. And that is, why do you live in fear? Why do you live in distraction? Why do you live powerless? Repeat those three questions. Why do you live in fear? Why do you live in distraction? And why do you live powerless? And I want to challenge us this morning that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in distraction. We don't have to live powerless. But we forget sometimes. And we try to do things in our own power. And we try to do things in our own might. And when we do that, we fail. And then we get discouraged. And I honestly can tell you, after showing you all these slides, God's done some great things at camp, just unbelievable. And we've been trying to, you know, get all this down in this PowerPoint and share this with people. But there are times when the camp director, that'd be me, when I'm just like, what are we doing next? And I feel like I don't know what I need to do, and I feel distracted sometimes, and I feel powerless. And so I have been challenged by this, so that's why I'm bringing it to you, and I want to challenge you this morning. So why do you live in fear? Why do you live in distraction? Why do you live powerless? Okay, so let's go to the word, go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at the word together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for these people that have come this morning. I pray that the challenge of your word would give them encouragement, and that they would be mindful that you are in control and that you want to work in and through us for your glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. So don't live in fear. If I say that to you, some of you are like, yeah, right. You don't realize what lives under my bed. You don't know what happens in my house when the lights get shut off. I live in fear. And some of you said the kids went to junior church. You don't need to talk about monsters in the closet. But there's probably some monsters in some of your closets, if we'll be honest. And but you don't need to live in fear. Why? Because God is with you. And let's look at Psalm 91, verses 14 and 15. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And so right there in that passage, we see that because he loves me, he delivers me, he answers me, and he is with me in trouble. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, and we don't have time this morning to go there, but you can jot it down if you'd like to look there, talks about, fear not, because he will not fail thee. So my challenge to you is stop living in fear. Stop avoiding your finances, your relationships, your health, and just fearfully say, there's nothing I can do. Because if you are living in fear of outcomes, know this, God is with you. He hasn't changed. He is there. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we like to avoid things because if we don't worry about them or if we don't look at them, then we don't fear them. Okay? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I've had a massive weight loss this year of 2019 because of a health issue. And when I say the word diet, most of you don't like that word, you know? We diet, yeah, let's have a bacon diet. That's the kind of diet we could all sign up for, right? All right, I see some people saying amen there on bacon diets, but, you know, we don't need to avoid those things. We don't need to avoid relationships. So many times we deal at camp with young people who are out of a relationship with God, but not only that, they're out of a relationship with their family. They're estranged from their family. But you know what? You don't need to fear those things. We need to give them to God because we don't want to live in fear. God is with us. And so I want to remind you of that point this morning. God is with you. Then I want to go on to the next one. God will direct you. Don't live in distraction. Okay? And I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1 with me. Joshua chapter 1. And you might wonder why I picked Joshua this morning. And wonder about why I would say don't live in distraction. But let's put a little relevancy behind Joshua's leadership. Okay, I ask you, if you worked for Moses and he died, would you want his job? And I see some of you shaking your head no, right? He had a bunch of people who didn't listen anyway. Okay? And Joshua was his second in command, and then God says to him, you know, Moses is gone, which we're going to read the scripture in a minute. They're all yours, you know? That would be a job where I would have said, can you pick someone else? Okay? I also want you to think about this. Joshua was a warrior. He was leading the warriors. Okay? So, I used to play college football, and we had plays that we ran, and we did things to get the job done on the football field, okay? But, and military is the same way. They have plans. This is what we got to do. James in the military, they have a plan. They follow the plan. This is our objective, okay? So, think about this. You're a military leader named Joshua. You got all these soldiers out there, and you go, guys, we're going to march around the city every day, one time. And on the seventh day, we're going to march around seven times. You with me? Okay? These are battle veterans. And you're telling them, we're just going to march around the city, and then we're going to shout. Okay? Think about it, realistically. Can you imagine those warriors looking at him like, what is your problem? Okay? So, Joshua could be distracted. Look at verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. And then I want to drop down and look at, let's go over to chapter 3. And chapter 3, I want to look at verses 3 through 5. And I'll read those. And commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, around 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, or in order that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And then Joshua commands the priest what to do. The key word there I want you to catch, though, is Joshua said to the people, God will do wonders among you. God will direct you. Don't live in distraction. Follow after God. Heed God's instruction. Why? Because he loves me. He will direct his servant's steps. So stop being distracted. What distracts us? Cares of the world distract us. Health issues distract us. Finances distract us. People distract us. Okay? From really allowing God to direct us. And we see here, I mentioned the example of Joshua, and that he was leading these people, and I'm sure that he felt that chance of being distracted. I have a dog. Some of you actually know my dog, but I have a dog. He's a pretty obedient dog. He's more obedient to Lori than he is to me, especially if we're together, because she's his boss and they kind of work together better, and he always has obeyed her better. So that's how that works. I don't take it personally, because I know that when she's gone, then I'm the second boss, and he always listens to me when she's gone, so that's good. And if he won't listen to me and she's there, I say, Lori, tell this dog what needs to happen. But anyway, my dog is obedient. And we'll do things, but if a squirrel runs across the road at camp, he loses focus. Some of you are familiar with that. You can yell squirrel and somebody's looking off somewhere else or they're gone. Some of you are easily distracted. I like to look at the landscape when I drive, and my wife reminds me that there's a road I'm supposed to look at occasionally. So today, right south of Big Piney, I was taking in the scenery and not looking at the road, and she said, there's a car coming. You probably should look at the road. So I did, and didn't have to right the ship. We were still in our lane, so that was a good thing. But don't be distracted. And remember that God directs his people. How did God direct Joshua? God met with Joshua. Joshua had a time with God where he communed with God and had direction. So don't live in distraction. And then the last one, don't live powerless. I know some of you are like the Energizer Bunny. And I know that have batteries enough that you could go nonstop like the Energizer Bunny. But if we're honest with ourselves, we can't live without God's power. And we are powerless to do a lot of different things. The day the lodge burned and we went up there to get ready for the next retreat, people asked me, well, what'd you do? Well, I sat in the snow in front of the building and looked at the burning building and cried and said, God, I don't know what to do. Okay? And you might say, well, you were the director. You should have had an idea. No, I didn't have any idea. Okay? But a lot of times we try to live our lives like that without the power of God. Don't live in your own strength. God will empower you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 with me. And this is where we're going to finish today in Ephesians chapter 1. Don't live in your own strength. And I'm going to read some verses to you here in Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Then drop down to verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he hath blessed us in the beloved. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Drop down to verse 13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we require possession of it to the praise of his glory. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, which are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? Verse 20, he hath worked in Christ, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, all through Christ. So, we think about power. We think about a power source, and I'm telling you not to be your own power source. Let God work in you. And a great illustration of this would be, and some of you could probably relate to this, how many of you have been in the backwoods, either hunting, fishing, or hiking, and you wish you had another battery? Have you had that experience? I see some hands up. I see some nods. Okay? In 2006, I climbed Gannett Peak with five guys from Casper. And there was five of us total, I'm sorry. Four guys from Casper and myself. We climbed Gannett Peak. Pastor Jeff Matney was on that trip. And Pastor Jeff Matney doesn't sleep well in a tent anyway. And so we hiked in and we got to the pass and we decided we're going to spend the night up on the pass there. So we hiked up on the pass and we set up our tent on the pass. And it was one of those windy nights on the pass. Even though we had a rock shelter around us, the wind blew the tent. So you'd wake up and the tent would be right in front of your face going, okay? Some of you can relate to that. You've experienced that before. The tent would be right there. Anyway, we spent the night up there. Next morning, we got out of the tent. Pastor Mann hadn't slept at all. Anyway, we got up about 3 in the morning because we started our ascent on Gannett Peak at 4 a.m. We climbed the peak. We got up there. We came back off the peak. And we were going to spend the night again there at the pass, on top of the pass. He was like, no way, I'm not sleeping in that tent again. And we said, well, it's late enough in the day, we need to do something. So we didn't stay in the tent, we slept in these little, they have these little semicircles of rocks up there on the pass. We just laid our sleeping bags out in those spots. I slept pretty good, actually. He didn't sleep. When I got up in the early morning, he was sitting on one of those rocks looking out at Gannett Peak where we'd been the day before. And anyway, so we decided to go down to Island Lake, which is below there. Went to Island Lake, and we ate all of our food that we had left because it was like, you know, the big festival. So we're eating food and just having a great time. And about 11 o'clock that morning, he says, I want to go home. And we're all looking at him. Okay, home's, the trail is, we thought Casper at first. And he said, no, I just want to get back to find him because I won't sleep again. And so this is 11 o'clock in the morning, and so it's 20 miles from Island Lake to Elkhart Park, and we packed up and we took off, okay? And it's doable, but probably going to be dark before we get there, okay? All right, no problem, we all have headlamps, all right? And so we got strung out on the trail there, and there was two groups. There was a group of two, myself and Mike. And there was a group of three. They were behind us. They were moving a little slower. And we headed out. So we're going out. And about the time it's starting to get dark, I dig my headlamp out of my backpack, put it on my head so I can just hit the switch. I'm all excited that I'm just going to walk out with this headlamp on. And we start down there. It gets dark enough. I need the headlamp. I flip it on. And then the headlamp does something very interesting. It's like every time I take a step, it gets dimmer, okay? And getting dimmer, but you know, it's dark, but maybe my eyes need to adjust. Well, that wasn't the case. Within several hundred yards, it was dark. So I look over at Mike, and I say to Mike, I said, Mike, you got your headlamp on? He goes, no, I turned mine on, didn't work, and so yours worked, so I was just, that's why I was kind of a step behind you following. And so here we are in the dark, walking down this trail. Somewhere in the next half hour, something big and black got on the trail. It was bigger than a porcupine and smaller than a moose. We don't know what it was. It was black. We were both just standing there next to each other, kind of, did you see that? I don't know. I don't know if I saw anything. Yeah, so back and forth like that. Anyway, we stumbled and worked our way down that trail. It took a long time, okay? I would have given any amount of money at that point for a battery. Okay, this headlamp I had one of those flat watch batteries in it. If I just saw another backpacker, I'd have stole their watch. I would have done whatever it took to get a battery. And I say all that to say this, why do we live our Christian lives like that? When all these things are true, I'm going to go back through these in Ephesians just quickly. Okay, verse 3, he blesses us with all spiritual blessings. Verse 6, we're accepted in the beloved. We're part of the family. Verse 7, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 8, his love abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, he lets us know his will. Verse 13, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, giving you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of God. Verse 18, that ye may know the hope of glory and His inheritance. Verse 19, working of His mighty power in your life, and it's all through, in verse 20, all through Christ. So stop being your own power source. We so often try to do things in our own power. Know this, God empowers us to do what He wants us to do. So, why are you living in fear? Why are you living in distraction? Why are you living powerless? My challenge to you in answering that question is, you've forgotten your God. Don't live in fear. God is with you. Don't live in distraction. God will direct you. Don't live powerless. God will empower you. And I don't know about you, but that reminder has helped me in my walk with the Lord, that He will be with me, He will direct me, and He will empower me. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for these folks this morning. Pray that You would just encourage and bless them in their week. And I pray that You would give us grace to let You be with us, and that You would direct us, and that You would empower us, and that we would sense that from You and know that. And God, we just pray and ask that You would continue to work. In this we pray. Amen.